All right, we've got to start off by saying happy 2019. This is the beginning of what will be the greatest year of your lives. Let's just speak that, and it becomes true. We will all share in that. 2019 will be the best year of our lives individually and collectively, and then 2020 will be even better, because it has to, because it's 2020. So, you know, I become interested in topics sometimes. And when something really grabs my attention, I dig pretty deep. And when I look back, there have been times that I've been immersed in some kind of study, and it was a total waste of time. And then there are other times I've been immersed in a study and really led to something with longevity and importance in my life. And we're always struggling to understand motivation, and I have studied psychology at length. But we realize that we have to motivate people. And there's no simple formula. So I've learned a lot over the years, and I've coined some things that have been really valuable, like the 18 motivational types and the way that we use that in driving people forward. But I've been looking more recently at why so many people know that they need to get an outcome and they just sit on it. Now, I don't only mean in fitness and weight loss, but I mean it baffles my mind sometimes because I meet people and they go, I need to do this thing. And I go, great, we'll do the thing. And then they don't do the thing. So I wonder why, and I started really looking at that, and it led me down an interesting path. So I did find some really interesting research, most of it from the United States, but from other countries as well. And when I look at research, I look for things that line up, because very often you find a study and then you find another study that contradicts it. So where I found the most consistency is working with athletes, because they're really the easiest to kind of quarantine. They're the easiest to really look at the difference between two or three or four groups, because they're so, I'll say, religious or committed. You know, they stick to it. They stay the course. It's full on. So when there's a shift, it's very easy to document. Where when we look at other people, it's not as simple. So there was a study that looked at injured athletes. And after I read the first one, I continued down this road. And the question was, what happens to an injured athlete's motivation? And as I'm reading the opening literature, it's a really good question, because you would think with the athlete mentality, you know, when they get injured, they take that drive and the drive is applied to getting better and overcoming. But then on the flip side of it is the discouragement of not being able to perform the way they normally do. So as I read and read and then continued to look at other studies, I made a few phone calls and actually got a hold of one of the professors who did one of these studies, just because I found it really, really interesting. So I'll share some of it with you here. A high percentage of injured athletes experienced fear ranging from fear in returning to the sport. That was a common fear. It was over 60%, meaning that the injury made them apprehensive. Even though they wanted to go back to the sport, they started to worry of what might happen when they do. Or fear that their lives will never be the same. And this is sometimes looking at collegiate athletes. So we're talking about people who are 19, 20 years old. That's a pretty powerful fear. A high percentage of committed athletes who became injured experienced a loss of self-identity, reduction in motivation to train. For those who coached or had player coaching roles, a reduction in motivation to teach, and an all-around general reduction in motivation to do anything. Now, I'm going to ask you to take a guess here. Considering what I told you, they did a stress assessment, purely subjective. They asked the question, what was your stress level on a scale of 1 through 10 before the injury? What is your stress level now? When do you think it was higher? Do you think their stress went up because of the injury or went down?
Went up.
That's what we would guess, right? So this is what I found the most interesting. It went down, like across the board. I mean, there were some exceptions, but looking at the means and the main numbers, it was so clear that there was a drop in stress based, again, on their perception. I found that really surprising and really interesting. It means that the drive to get better psychologically is reliant upon a belief but is not perpetuated by stress. In other words, when they have an injury, they, in order to get better, must have a belief that they're going to get better. And you would think that their stress level was higher, so the motivation now would be great, right? Because stress can be a driver. But their perceived stress level was lower. So instead of finding a motivation that was greater, they gave in to emotions of despair and apathy. Now, that said, their number one wish was to recover fully. So there's a real human contradiction going on. They're experiencing fear, despair, and apathy. But in the abstract, if they could just make a wish, it would be to recover. So we have the conscious wish, and in a sense, I guess if we're looking at human survival or safety, the protective emotions that reduce the driving force to perform. Because if you are performing in a way that is stressful on your body and you become injured, if you continue to try to perform at that level, you may get injured worse. So it seems like there's this innate emotional thing that happens that almost pulls back your drive. Perhaps that's a part of the healing process. Now let's take that to regular people. When someone, let's say, loses their level of fitness over time, or they lose their level of health over time, or they lose their performance ability. And this could be for somebody who's just always fit and they gained a lot of weight, or somebody who is a golfer and they just don't golf anymore. But there's a reduction in their fitness, health, or performance ability. Their number one wish is to get it back. But if they harbor feelings of despair and fear and doubt and apathy, think about this, they may be oddly okay with the loss. So if this is human psychology, it starts to make sense why I meet so many people who go, yeah, I would love to get back out there. Yeah, I would love to be in the shape I used to be in. And you go, oh, great, do it. And they don't do it. Interesting. There may be something instinctively protective about the emotions that prevent them from pursuing it. Now, I believe in our society today, those emotions are misapplied because really nobody's going to really get injured trying to lose weight or playing golf severely where it's life-threatening. But if that is wired in, as demonstrated by athletes, it makes sense. It kind of explains what to me is not rational. It kind of explains in part why we see what I'll call the shocking reality of people who let themselves go, and we wonder, how did they let it go that far? You've seen people like that. You've seen people, and they'll show you a picture of when they were younger. Now, I recently had this experience. I was sitting in a restaurant, and I was talking to somebody about Thrive, and she showed me a picture of her years earlier. Oh, my God. You know, and you don't want to react. You don't want to go, oh, my God, you were beautiful then, because that's kind of insulting. But, man, what a difference. So you just sit there, and you can't help but think, how did you let it go this far? You don't say it out loud. So in trying to understand this, I've really put my mind to it, and I think I came up with some really interesting discoveries, at least for myself, in working with people. People who have lost health, fitness, identity, don't really find comfort or happiness with their reduced health and fitness and physical appearance, but they increase their emotional apathy. And it is beneath the conscious level. Guys, as you're hearing this, can you think of people who you've met, and it at least answers a little bit of why they irrationally let themselves go in such a negative direction? Because innately is the rising up of apathy. So let's separate this into two different realities. One, because of what I'm calling this emotional apathy, they may not be emotionally driven. But two, based on the wish, emotionally, they desperately want to be better. So that's the catch-22. That takes the mystery out of how this irrational behavior can take place. Those are contradictory. They are not emotionally driven because of something innate that rises up. Yet, emotionally, they desperately want to be better. So let's consider that and think about all of the people in the world, in the universe, or let's narrow it down to your state or your city or your neighborhood or a three-mile radius of where you train people. And let's understand that the value of you to these people is immense if you can help them rediscover drive, right, motivation, and help them recover what was lost. Because as long as they hold on to that apathy, they're not going to get better. So the value is immense if they can find a way to rediscover motivation and recover what was lost. So that led me to explore more studies about loss in general, and there are some really interesting insights and conclusions, although as I told you at the beginning, this rabbit hole started to run really deep. In attempting to weigh intensity of emotion for positive gain versus loss, the intensity of emotion, meaning if you take somebody, will they do more to prevent loss than they will to achieve something? This is weighing out the intensity of the emotion for positive gain versus the emotion for loss. In every academic attempt, the intensity of gain feelings peaked and dropped. Like a gambler. I want to win, I want to win, I want to win. Yes, I won, so there's the peak. But it doesn't sustain, it drops. When somebody gets a raise at work, they come home super happy, and a month later, they're complaining about their job. So the intensity of the emotion for gain peaks and drops, where the intensity of loss feelings peaks and feeds itself. The intensity of emotion for gain peaks and drops. Somebody trains really hard, and they go to that wedding, they go to that event, they stand on the stage in the contest, and there's a peak. But then the next day, they just want to eat the pizza. There's the peak and the drop. But in terms of intensity, when we're looking at loss, there is a self-feeding negativity. Now, the most common activity that evidences this self-feeding negativity is complaining. And complaining feeds the focus on the loss. And while there are many theories as to the benefit of complaining, because some psychologists came up with all these human benefits to complaining, the bottom line is this. The longer someone stays in a complaint mode, the more bitter they become. That gets even worse. The more bitter they become, the less likely they are to connect with arousal and cognition stimulus. I'm going to say that again, and then I'll explain it. The more bitter they become, the less likely they are to connect with arousal and cognitive stimulus. So if I say that differently, for someone to recover that which they lost, which emotionally becomes a primary want, remember, they wish they could get it back, they have to connect with, I think I know what to do. In other words, if somebody loses all their money, they're not going to ever feel good unless they have the thought that goes, I know what to do. I know how to get out of this. I know what I can try. And then at least there's the opportunity. But if they stay in that bitter state, they're never getting in touch with that sense of, I think I know what to do. And the longer they stay in bitterness, the more their cognition in that regard shuts down. In other words, ultimately, it almost becomes impossible for them to connect with the I know what to do. And as the likelihood of the cognitive process decreases, so too does the likelihood of arousal, of motivation, of going, I'm going to get it back. So it's this perpetuating negative loop of negative emotion. So let's share a realization that few trainers will come to understand. The greatest value to the largest market is in restoring what was lost. The greatest value in our world, in the world we live in, to the largest market, I'm not talking about a small fraction of the market, I'm talking about the largest segment of our population. The greatest value, just in terms of emotional wish, is in restoring what was lost. To me, that says a lot about how we market and how we conduct our business and how we reach our avatar. The greatest value to the largest market is in restoring what was lost. When we offer weight loss, we'll get the best emotional response, just in terms of subconsciously, from those who once had bodies they were comfortable with. But we also have to understand what I just described as a block. They've shut down their cognition and arousal. So this kind of explains why you meet somebody who used to be fit and now they're fat and they go, yep, I need to, and they don't. So if we leave them on their own, the likelihood of them ever getting back in shape is pretty close to zero at a certain point. The research matches my experience. I found my greatest personal training revenues when I started conducting programs and series sessions. You know, I went from a place where you guys know I was charging far too little to a place where I started charging more. And then I went from a place where I was doing free consultations to where I started charging for orientations. And I started to realize that I can charge $20 and have 8 people in a room, so now instead of making $20 for that orientation, I'm making 8 times 20 or 160. So ultimately that led me to charge many people or several people for a program ongoing. And I watched how it worked. And I saw the importance of human connection. And I learned a whole lot from doing that about business, about money, and also about human emotion and psychology. I found my greatest personal training revenues when I started conducting programs and series sessions. Nothing else, just programs and series sessions. I'm not talking about supplements that came later. I'm not talking about big seminars that came later. Programs and series sessions. Now, when I first optimized this strategy, I sold my Transform program, a 13-week program, live interactively for up to $2,200 because it escalated, which included 11 group sessions. And the reason it was 11 and not 13 is because, for those who remember my Transform program, week 5 and 6 are the same. So they'd come for week 5. I didn't need to see them between week 5 and week 6. So there were 11 times that they would come to my office in a group, and we would spend half of the time in my conference area where they were sitting at a table and I had the PowerPoint, and then we'd walk to the other side where I had my training studio and they'd learn the movements. Why does that line up with this? Because the way I ran that program is from week to week they saw progress. I emphasize day one, do not get on the scale. Now, I know we all say that, but doing it in a group was really powerful. And they would not only support each other, they would support what they learned from me. So in week 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, when somebody would say, you know, I know I'm not supposed to get on the scale, but I didn't lose any weight. I got on the scale and I only lost 2 pounds. I would just laugh, and someone else in the group would go, you just said you lost 2 pounds. Like, it's this irrational thinking that brings people to that place of insisting they're stuck, but then it's like, this, wait, holy shit, that doesn't make any sense. I just said I only lost 2 pounds, which means I lost 2 pounds. So I watched the intrinsic motivation in each individual climb and rise from week to week. And what's really crazy to me is now in my Alive program, the Alive Connection membership, there are people in that group who went through my Transform program 20 years ago in those groups. So when I talk about moving them from a place of losing the innate desire and motivation to a place that they're going to stay connected for 20 years, I would say that was a win. So going back to the athlete studies. Once the athletes started to recover, their motivation peaked. Now that's really interesting. Because remember, their motivation dropped, their stress level dropped, but once they started to recover, once they saw progress, their motivation peaked, didn't creep up. It's like when they saw progress, hey, I can throw the ball farther than I thought I'd ever be able to. Hey, I could kick without tearing my leg out of its socket. You know, whenever there's that moment where they go, hey, I'm recovering, the motivation peaked. So it's sort of like the road down becomes a downward spiral if you let it. But when athletic trainers know this, they know how to coach these athletes. Once they believed that they would get back what they lost, and this is vitally important because I'm telling you, that's who we need to target, people who want to get back what they lost. When they say, I don't have any energy, they're really saying, I want the energy I used to have. When they say, I want to be lean, they really mean I want to be lean again. Once the athletes believed they'd get back what they lost, because remember, they went to a place of fear, the motivation inevitably overrode the fear, and in many cases, they expressed that they believed they would perform better than ever. So getting a group and giving them the understanding of what to do, because remember, they're losing the ability to figure out what to do. So getting together a group of people and giving them the understanding of what to do and then graduating them slowly, guiding them to see where it's working, to help them see, hey, I'm starting to get back to where I used to be. That is the best way to pull people back in. And when we reinstill the belief that they have their own power, because they lost it, when we reinstill in them the sense that I can get it back, hey, maybe I can even be better than I was, motivation peaks. So I see this year ahead of us as the most opportune year ever for me in business. Now, I also see the opportunity for you to capture that same vision. It's purely up to you if you want it. I could give you 10 very good reasons why the opportunities are greater for me now than they were even a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Yeah, everyone has aspirations. And although I know many of you stop yourself short of crystallizing an outcome, because you do know from a mindset perspective, that's a really valuable thing to do, but sometimes you don't because you're human. And you live with the same human psychology as all the athletes I described. So sometimes it's hard to put yourself on the line. Sometimes you kind of get a sense of what you want, but crystallizing it summons up a fear because what if you can't or what if you don't? So I know everyone here has aspirations, and although I know many of you do stop yourself short from crystallizing an outcome or committing a desire to a public statement, we can change everything this year. Now, I just want to say something. When I was talking about a program, the reason the program is so lucrative is you could do the math. I had 12 people paying me $2,200 all at once. Now, I wasn't selling a program every week. This would last 11 weeks, actually 13 weeks chronologically. But ultimately, I could have two programs going on at once. I could have my Monday night group and my Wednesday night group. And when they finish the program, I don't sell them another program, or back then I didn't. They went into a series with one of my trainers. That was the next step. So they fell into my spillover. And I wish I could just say I was smart enough to figure all that out, but it came from years of trial and error. Years of making mistakes. But then it allowed me to create two different types of revenue. The new revenue, which was a big chunk, and the recurring revenue, which was what I knew I could rely on. Now, a program is different than an ongoing boot camp. Although that can certainly be lucrative. I'm not suggesting you don't do a boot camp. I just want you to understand the difference. I've seen many people who banked on boot camps. I've seen it because they bought an adventure boot camp, or they bought a Bedros boot camp, and they bought a franchise, or they just sort of knocked it off and created their own. And I've witnessed it over time long enough that more often than not, I see many of those people hit burnout or develop a perceived inability to control attrition. That has proven to be almost inevitable. At a certain point, they go, I'm losing people and there's nobody else because I marketed to everybody. Or they get swallowed up by competition because somebody is newer and hungrier. The challenge with boot camp is you have to sustain with no end in sight, with a high energy physical output, a high need for instilling continued motivation every single day, and a demand for ongoing marketing in a fiercely competitive market. So I'm not saying boot camp is bad. I'm just saying what I'm describing is something very different, the program and the series. And if I were to start my business tomorrow, that's how I would start it. If I would start my business as a personal trainer, I would develop the program right into the series. So the formula can be a 3-week program, or an 8-week program, or a 13-week program, but when the program is done, they do a closing assessment, and they are coached into ongoing sessions. How do you make this happen? The reach, the funnel, the spillover. You market the program using a reach and a funnel. With the program, there's a beginning and an end to the initial commitment. So at first, they give you money. And if you do sell something like nutritional supplements, they'll also give you more money along the way. You don't have to. But they give you a sum of money up front. And then when you've got them to a point that you have fixed the motivation issue, which I understand better now than I did ever before, you have brought them to a place where they're sensing restoration. You've given them a new ability to cognitively reason that they will get better, and you have reignited their motivation, now you lead them into the series. So here's some food for thought. Whether in this year ahead you create a medical affiliation, which is one of the reasons I say the opportunity for my career is greater than ever right now, so whether you choose to create a medical affiliation or simply stick to fitness, I'm suggesting you create a program for restoration, for giving people back what they lost, for giving people back what they once had. And by the way, if your ego allows, you don't even have to create. You can use my reboot program. You can charge $800, keep $675 of it, and just funnel people forward into a series. So is what I'm sharing with you A must?
No.
But if you're coming to me with a question, how can I make more money this year than ever before? Consider what I'm saying. Financially, it's a beautiful structure. And as you build your sustainable recurring business, especially if you get to a spillover, you feed your Ascension account. And then you get to look at it and actually see results. And by the way, when you start to see that Ascension account growing, guess whose motivation hits a peak? Because let's not forget, you're a human too. So we apply the psychology with our clients and prospects, but man, we can apply that psychology on ourselves as well. If we create a pro forma for your business for the year ahead, and you implement program revenues and session revenues, and you're willing to add a spillover, you can literally create your own income. Why would you not do it? Well, maybe because you have a better way. That's one option. Or because you do what you do because it's what you've done. That's another potential reason. Or fear. So if you're going to make this year different, consider what I'm saying. Now, the system of driving people into a program and then bringing about change and getting them to a different level of motivation and feeding them into recurring sessions and building a spillover, it's perfect. But there's a big question. How do you sell the program, right? That's the big question. Like, yeah, I love the idea. If 12 people magically fell from heaven and entered my program with checks or credit cards, that would be great. But I keep looking up and nobody's falling. So the way to sell the program is to take on one marketing directive. Is Tasso here?
I am.
Tasso, I'm going to use you as the, you know, when they show like fashion do's and don'ts? I'm going to show you as the don't.
Thanks. Yeah, well, I'm excited.
Well, I'll tell you that I've had so many conversations with Tasso, and just when I think I understand what he's selling, he comes up with a new promotion, a different promotion, 39 for 39, 13 for 13, 8 for 80, all these different promotions. So it's like you have to, and by the way, if it works for Tasso, I'm not telling him to change it. But to try to imitate that system is almost impossible. Because the marketing directive changes. You know, we want you to do this, and then next month we want somebody else to do that. So I think a strength comes from having one marketing directive, meaning when you meet somebody, here's what they do, period. So years ago for me, it was come to my orientation, $20 money-back guarantee. Today, it is sign up for my metabolic reboot. Everyone. So I am now working in offices, medical offices, and people come in and they pay $150 for the consultation, and almost everyone winds up signing up for my reboot. It's the one thing. Are there exceptions? Yeah, a guy came in the other day. He's a 39-year-old competitive bodybuilder, massive. He's got issues with his joints, and he's got some hormonal issues. So, you know, there is the exception. But the great majority of people that I see go through my reboot program. So I'm practicing what I'm preaching. Tasso has the body coach program where you are supervised by a trainer and you get to use the MedX and the SciFit equipment, and it's $60 a month. Or he has the one-on-one, or he has the regular membership, or he has the express membership, and it just goes from there. So Tasso, again, I'm just jokingly calling you the do not, but it is strength. To be able to say to your staff and your prospects, here's the deal. Here's the promise. Here's the offer. Do it. So it takes out the indecision. So how do you get people into your program? Make it the single marketing directive. And if you have so many different things, if you go, I don't know, maybe I should put them in this, maybe I should put them in that, that's what I'm asking you to rethink. I'm asking you to look at your revenues, look at the things that frustrate you, and just start to consider if you did it differently, if your reach was structured to funnel everyone into the same program initially, just consider what might happen to your revenues. Now, again, this is not a must, but what I like to do is share with you guys what I'm doing. So this is how I've structured my business for 2019, and I am thrilled. So one marketing directive. So in these next few months, I would like to get this group to be electric in guiding each other, coaching each other to create three things. All of you would ultimately create one, a clear position with a single marketing directive for new clients and customers. Two, the establishment or the connection with the entry program. Again, you don't have to do this. This is not me telling you what you should do. This is me telling you that if you are not thrilled with the way things are running and you see opportunity, it might be a way to create far more abundance and prosperity in the year ahead. So one, clear position, single marketing directive. Two, the establishment or the connection with an entry program and the scalable series. And the reason I say scalable is if you're getting everyone who goes through the program on a series, when you have 30 people now, it's too much for you to grow from, so you need to have your spillover. And in that regard, Tasso's way ahead of the game. Tasso, how many trainers do you have?
Six.
So he's built his spillover. He's doing $35,000 a month in personal training revenues because of the spillover. And by the way, Tasso's training revenue is separate. That's his premium. Am I right, Tasso? Did I say that correctly?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so I said three things. One, clear position, single marketing directive. Two, the establishment of the program. And three, a medical affiliation for those who want it. I don't want you to now recoil and go, I don't want to do the medical thing. You don't have to. I'm just telling you, if we're looking at the year ahead and thinking purely in terms of opportunity, this is what I feel is best to highlight because here is the opportunity. Now, I want to implant a thought for all of you, and I encourage you to write it and look at it often. Here's the thought, four words. If not now, comma, when, question mark. If not now, when? Ask it frequently and answer it. It will serve you as a motivational mover. And by the way, it will also serve you in getting your prospects to move. Because there's always this eternal someday, tomorrow, after, when this is finished. But pin it down. If not now, when? I meet so many trainers. I'm going to open my own studio. I'm not lying when I tell you 25 years later, I'm still hearing. I get emails. Hey, I was at your business forum, and I told you I was going to open my own studio. Do you think I should get a place? I'm like, they still haven't done it. So if not now, when? So when somebody goes, yeah, I really do need to get back in shape, if not now, when? Because there's no real logical, rational answer. They're not going to go, well, 5 years from now. Because what's going to happen to you over those 5 years? So I would just write down those words and just get in the habit. At first, they're going to make you uncomfortable. But get past that. That's the fear. You want something you don't have. For all of you, it's some a little different, but you all want something you don't have. That's great. Human desire is really an essence of what brings us forward. So you want something you don't have. If you don't pursue it aggressively now, when? And usually the realization is the only thing holding you back are the four monsters. There's no good reason for not doing it in 2019. The monsters will convince you otherwise. Procrastination will go, just wait a little while. Distraction will go, you need to do this thing first. Money worry will go, as soon as you could afford to. And negative talk will go, you can't do that. Those are the monsters. That's what you're always working to overcome. So when you ask a question, if not now, when, if you have an answer that's reasonable, great. But in most cases, the only fight that you're going to get from that question comes from the four monsters. So 2019, several months ago, I shared with you a new paradigm. I gave you seven elements of it. I said, believe, be unreasonable, be better, be guided, be centered, be protected, and be whole. Now's the time to implement all of it. All right, in a minute, I'm going to introduce you to Jeff Jones. Now, I want to make this little, I'm going to mention this thing. I am open to changing the time of the call to Thursday at 1 o'clock because that's the time I had my regular Be Better call. I've decided this year I am not doing another Be Better group. I'm turning this group into the Personal Trainer Ascension group, and I'm going to very slowly and deliberately bring people in who will benefit the group and who we can help. So that brings Jeff Jones here today. So I'd like you guys to email me or text me if Thursday at 1 is a better time for you, because Jim, you don't have to speak, but I know Fridays aren't good for you. Historically, Fridays aren't good. But if Thursday at 1 o'clock is better, we can move the call. So just let me know over the next couple of weeks if that's going to work for you, and if it makes sense, we'll change the call. If you absolutely can't, you know, tell me that, and we'll keep it at the regular time. All right, so Jeff Jones joins us. And Jeff, before I just, you know, throw the spotlight on you, I would like to hear a little bit from Troy, Tasso, and Tammy, at the very least, maybe Tony as well if we have time. But we had conversations during the week, and I really want to be able to, over the next few months, get everybody to a point of personalization where you feel like everything we're talking about applies specifically to you. So Troy is in Battle Creek. He's a longtime personal training studio owner. And Troy, you'll correct me if I'm wrong in the way I say this. He became successful and set in his ways. And when it came time to do something different, he resisted. But now he has gone through some mindset shifts, and he's enjoying this group and really ambitious and excited about what is yet to come. So, Troy, can you just share literally a sentence or two about what we spoke about, just to kind of put it out there in terms of what's ahead for you?
What's ahead for me, I'm looking at definitely doing moving forward on the medical component and working through that. And I'm a giant fan of the reboot. For me, it works well. And so that's my one marketing directive. My trouble is reach, which will be hopefully improved with connections with the medical community. I guess that was longer than one sentence. Sorry.
That's good. Perfect. Tasso, quick summary.
In regards to our conversation we had this week?
Yeah, just to put out there, here's a sense of what you're going to be looking for in the months to come.
We are going to evaluate the areas of the club, those memberships that you went over that do not generate revenue, and then replace those with, at first, a medical-based business that we can function with and symbiotically help each other grow.
Beautiful. Tammy, do you want to just share a little bit of our conversation? Just a couple of sentences.
So we talked about like making a clear position on who and what I am over the next couple of months, and then document it with a website or landing page, and also working on opening up our own personal training studio.
Beautiful. So these can turn into some really nice future memories and outcomes, and as we crystallize them, we will all work to help each person respectively achieve it. All right, Tony, I didn't forget about you. Let's just, for the sake of time, Jeff, can I ask you to introduce yourself? And you could do more than a couple of sentences. I want them to just get a sense of who you are. And if you want, I could lay some groundwork, or I could just turn it over to you.
That's up to you.
I'll turn it over to you.
All right. I'm in the Canton, Ohio area. I've been a personal trainer since 1985. I went through, I think, the first class that Ace had way back in the day. I've owned, I opened my first fitness studio in 2005. That same time that I owned that one, I opened another in 07, opened a very large facility, moved to a few different models in 2012, and then lost everything in 2015. I'm back getting ready to open up another personal training studio here this year. So that was a very quick run through of 17 years, or 14 years. Prior to that, I was a physician surgeon's assistant for years, worked at the Cleveland Clinic, and my reason for getting into the personal training end of it was to bridge the gap back in 05 between fitness and medicine that I saw a need. And so that's still my mindset, and it's interesting you brought that medical component up because I've been after that for years. So
it's time. Sometimes things happen at the right time. And Jeff, I'm going to pull some things out of you, and I know you really don't know the people here, but I know that you trust me. So I'm not doing anything other than connecting you with this group in a way that's going to help.
Yes.
And if you ever look at, you know, any of the stories of the hero's quest, you know, it's always somebody who's doing something good and going on their merry way, and then somehow a villain comes in and fucks up their life. And then they wind up somehow beaten and downtrodden, and that's where the hero thing starts to come up, and they feel reconnected with what they were supposed to do, and they find their mission, and through that they overcome, and they become this great hero. Jeff, can you connect with that just at least conceptually? And I'm not – that doesn't put any arrogance in your court right now, but can you understand why I'm creating that metaphor?
No, it's absolutely where I'm at right now. Yes.
So I'm going to just kind of throw a little seed out here, and then I want you to just fill it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to kind of reiterate and color in a little of what Jeff said, he built up a great business, and he was a personal trainer, and he was very true to his mission, helping people get fit. That's what he did, and he really cared about helping people. It was never about money first, but he certainly deserved to make money. And then he developed a partnership, in a sense. Somebody came along and saw the good in Jeff. They saw the virtue, and they're like, well, we could make a lot of money. So they invested, which sounds like a really good thing. But I've seen this happen so many times in business. They don't understand that Jeff isn't just a commodity. They don't understand the intangible that makes him special. They just think money can buy more of this and bigger. And the more of this we spend, the more of this we build. And that became, in your life, kind of the evil villain, right? And this is not a judgment on them personally, but in the hero's quest, that became the disruption that caused the second part of the story that's about to happen, right? So
yeah.
Can you color that in a little bit?
I did exactly that. I wanted more. I saw that I could touch more people and do more good. And by doing that, I enabled people to invest in my business that did not have the same thought process that I did. And in the end, wanted something completely different than what I wanted, and I lost it all at that point. But I have not given up, and I'm in a position right now where I feel I'm in the best position, believe it or not, than I've ever been or ever would have been. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity that I've been given, and I'm just super excited with putting the whole picture together and just recreating what I've dreamt of for years. So,
and I just want to add that when he says he lost it all, it's pretty accurate. He lost it all, and he went from a place that he was making really good money to a place that he literally had nowhere to live. And now he's coming back as the hero. So you'll get to know him better, but I think he's just a perfect fit for this group, and I think the group is going to be a blessing in his life. Does anybody have anything they want to just comment on or say to Jeff?
Welcome aboard, brother.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Thanks.
I feel like I already know you from Thrive Calls, though.
All right. So let's thank you, Jeff. I'm really glad you're here. And I really look forward to just being a part of the greatness that lies ahead for you, because I know there's a happy ending here.
No, I believe in fate, and there's a lot of good things, I think, to come my way. And I'm so appreciative of being in a group like you guys. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So, Troy, let's...
Send your appreciation before you get to know us.
What was that, Tasha?
I said, tell him to save his appreciation before he gets to know us.
All right. So, Troy, I'm going to share a little bit more of what we spoke about. You did a nice job in a few sentences before. But one of the things that we discussed is you said you need to build your reach and we need to build a funnel. So, again, how do we drive people into the program? And you have historically been conducting sessions for weight loss and using the tried and true old school formula is just, you know, reduce your calories, eat healthy, exercise and burn calories. It's calories in versus calories out, and you had success. But now we have this emergence of an entirely new market who are people who have weight loss resistance, and they don't respond to that. And there's a whole field of women who have thyroid issues, and that's true in Battle Creek, just like it's true in New York City. So somehow there has to be a way to tap into that market, that avatar in your universe. And what we discussed is drive them into a weight loss seminar. Now, I don't think we call it a weight loss resistance seminar. I don't even think we call it a thyroid seminar. I think we go pure to the want, weight loss seminar. But I think there should be a really bold, almost obnoxiously bold promise, like the best weight loss program in Battle Creek. As hokey as that sounds, if it's one marketing directive, at first people might kind of snub their nose at it, but I think the trick is to create a consistent campaign. So they're seeing it on his Facebook. If anything, if he's going to make up cards, so if he's in a cafe or a bookstore, he's going to hand them to people. When they go to his website, it's going to say the same thing. So together, we will refine what that message is and what that offer is. But I think rather than trying to be both things, the old school cut calories, I think he has to really immerse himself, keeping his old clients doing what they're doing. This doesn't affect his interaction with his internal, but externally, it's just got to be unified where this is the answer. And all they have to do is come to this seminar. At first, just to build the reputation, I think he does them free. But I think in a very short period of time, we'll start to charge $20 for those seminars. And I think we could just leverage opportunities like doing it at a library first or places that you don't have to rent a conference room. But just developing this funnel that when people go through it, here's the way that I do them when I do them with doctors, and I'm inviting Troy to do the same thing. There's an element of what I've learned to do that makes people think that I'm reading their mind. Not really, but it's sort of the sense that they get. So, you know, we've been through this, but when I meet a 42-year-old woman who has a thyroid issue, I know what happened. I know exactly what happened. If she tells me she's on Synthroid or Cytomel, I can tell her. You really felt tired, you were getting brain foggy, you gained some weight no matter what you did, you didn't seem to lose the weight, you're sluggish, you're not sleeping well, you're tired even if you get a good night's sleep, and then you went to the doctor, and the doctor said that your T3 or T4 or TSH is off, and they adjusted it with medication, and you still felt crummy, but you went to the doctor, and he said, you're fine, and you said, but I still feel crummy, and he said, well, you're fine, because your labs were fine. And every case, they go, oh, my God, how'd you know that? Because that's what happens. So the more Troy is in front of this market, the more he has the ability to stand in front of a group and go, all right, guys, I know what you've been through. And I know that every single one of you thinks it was you. You tried and you didn't have willpower. Even if you went to the medical programs, it didn't last. It didn't work. It worked and then it stopped working. Here's what nobody told you. You have a medical condition that they never diagnosed. And I'm going to diagnose it right here, right now. Raise your hand if you've gained more than 7 pounds, not because you changed the way you lived, but just over the course of months or a year, you gained at least 7 pounds. Every hand goes up. He goes, okay, all of you have restrictive endocrine maladaptive adrenal stress syndrome. I'm going to give it an easier name, weight loss resistance. And nobody ever told you this before. And from that point on, he's got them because nobody ever spoke to them that way. And then the close is the $800 program. So if we could focus on building that, I think Troy's business takes it becomes a monster. Troy, does that all resonate with you based on what we spoke about?
Absolutely, yeah.
Any thoughts from anybody else? Because this is not specific to Troy. And the more you guys kind of partner on this and do this in your world, the better we get at refining it. So I think the trick is to build a marketing campaign with one marketing directive. And if you go to Troy's website, you're going to see it's an adequate website. Tells people to get in their skinny jeans. But it really is not compelling. So the website presence will simply have the one marketing directive. When people go to the website, it's going to go, you got to come to the best weight loss seminar in the world now in Battle Creek. Tasso, any thoughts? You know Troy well, and I'm just curious what you think about that approach or that goal.
Well, I disagree with you on the fact that he needs to keep his other people on the same old calories in, calories out kind of philosophy.
Let me point something out, though. I didn't say he needs to. You didn't hear me say that. He's welcome to.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think it also invigorates that base that you already have, because the reality is, you know, reflecting on what you said about program, I just sort of drove through some corollaries. You know, when we first started our business, we started with the Knowledge Diet. We had weekly classes every week and had a start date and end date, right?
Right.
And of those original 40 people and the next 70 that came into that program back in 1986, Phil, because of that connection that was made and the way we transferred into being a personal training center, of the original 70 people, we still have 51 of those people as members of our club that
right.
I see every week, every day kind of deal. So those people, the Knowledge Diet philosophy has come and gone for them, and they've tried 100 different diets before that. So now when Troy advocates the science that really changes the body, he becomes that expert all over again and reinvigorates the people he has currently there.
And you know what, and I'll let Troy respond to this, but I think that will happen naturally. I don't want Troy to feel like he has to change what's working, because if he has clients who are showing up, you know, there's always a fear of changing, always, because he knows, like, there's certain things that aren't broken, so don't fix it. But I think as he starts to bring in new people and the results really start to become apparent and his marketing takes on a life of its own, I think that'll be a natural progression. I just don't want him to feel like he has to change everything, because there are certain things that are working for him. So, Troy, is that comfortable for you?
I would definitely agree with that, because I don't want to go in and try to switch everybody's, you know, eating plan when they're having great success with it.
Right.
But anybody who hasn't, we've already switched them over. So, or anybody who's looking for a change, we've definitely switched them over.
Okay, good. Tammy. I think a part of Tammy's challenge has always been she's very gifted and sometimes doesn't really recognize her own gifting. And certain things that she may perceive as obstacles, shortcomings, really prevent her from seeing her strengths. And I think in this year, Tammy needs to exploit her strengths. She's had some bad partnerships that no doubt creates a little bit of apprehension. She's in a business relationship now that's comfortable but limiting. And I think after speaking, it sounds like it's really time for her to just leap forward. But a part of her challenge, as she expressed it to me, is she doesn't know what she is in terms of when people say, what are you? I don't know. I'm a personal trainer, but I'm a personal trainer who uses the quantum infinity, but I help women figure out what to do when they have food allergies, and I work with people. And it's like there's no simple answer. So in trying to create a web presence without defining an avatar and a position, it's really hard to make that web presence work for her. So the first 90 days of the year, what we want to do is really refine who she is in terms of the way she wants to position herself and create a web presence that is very compelling. Now, you know, there was a time not all that long ago that a website was like a neighborhood. And I still get a ridiculous number of visitors to my website, and I'm shocked because I honestly haven't updated it in 13 years. I'm not kidding. But I'm shocked. But that came from so many years of my website being a neighborhood, because people would come there and they'd search within the site. And they go, what does Phil have to say about artificial sweeteners? What does Phil have to say about ephedrine? What does Phil have to say about caffeine? So I became a trusted resource. People don't do that on the web anymore. There's ADD. They're not going to your website to hang out. If you're not compelling them in a moment, they just hit the back, or they go to Google, or they search, or they talk to Siri. So the intention now for Tammy, for Troy, is that when people go to your website, it speaks to them and they're compelled. So just like Troy will have the one marketing directive, Tammy has to have the presence that immediately impacts her prospect to say, I need to connect with her. So Tammy, did I say that in line with what you shared with me the other day?
Yes.
And I think that a part of Tammy's position needs to be serious people. I don't mean people who don't have a sense of humor. I mean, you know, when you look at Tammy's clients, they're politicians, they're high-level people, they're prominent in society, or they're sick and nobody's been able to help them. So I think what's the common thread? Your life and career depend upon it. I really think that's a part of the message, you know? If you're a mom and you're having trouble because you don't have the energy to take care of your kids, then your life depends on this. You know, if you're a politician and you need to manage stress and appear at your best, then your career depends upon it. So I think there's a way to put it out there that Tammy is the professional, the secret behind those people who are managing their lives because their life and career depend upon it. Does that resonate, Tammy?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you want to add or share?
No, when you were talking the other day about like, topics of putting content out there, and I when you said, well, what do you have anything you want to write about or talk about? But it was more on the holistic, like just tying the holistic nutrition and lifestyle and teaching people. I've had a vision for a while, putting a program together where it's not necessarily the training aspect, but doing something where we get together and teach them about healthy nutrition and prepping foods, or, you know, a lot of them struggle with that. Getting chemicals out of your home and how to do that and put them through, even if it's a, you know, 6-week program or something. But those are the kind of topics that, you know, have been resonating.
That's perfect. So what we will probably brainstorm and you'll end up creating on your site are 6 macros. And one of them may be environmental health. One of them may be nutritional health. So everything that you do in terms of an article, a video, a report falls under those categories. So it's almost like you have 6 pathways in for people to find you, but they all bring them to the same place. That if you're serious about your life and career, you need Tammy. So, you know, if somebody is feeling, they're suffering with inflammation and they don't know why, and they go to your site and it says, do you use cosmetics that may have toxins in them? You know, do you have new paint, new carpet? That's enough for them to go, oh my God, I never thought about that before. So I think we will figure out what those 6 macros are that are all holistic in nature, but we'll still split it up into categories. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that way we can effectively market and SEO and hashtag and then, you know, drive people to your site as they're searching for those things.
Right. And one of the marketing directives, too, is – well, not directives, but one of the programs I do want to keep going with is the 21-day program. I think everybody needs that.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're – like even putting my health – my fit, super fit, athletic people who gain something out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so – it's for not just for, you know, the totally, it's for everybody because I think everybody's body is in a...
And Tammy, I've set it up so that you make $675 every time somebody comes through and then they continue on with you. So, yeah, that's my intention. So I'm glad you said that. All right, good. Any thoughts from anybody else for Tammy? From anybody, including Jeff, who's now officially a member of the group.
Hey, Phil, it's Jeff.
Yep.
You know, just listening to Tammy or you talking to her, you know, one thing I struggled with, and I guess from time to time, it is pinpointing exactly what you do. And I think that's so important to be able to do that. And I've struggled with that. And I think lately I did more than ever. But I think that is when you figure that out, boy, what a life changer.
Yeah, and you know, Jeff, it's a hard thing to do by yourself, so that's why it's really valuable to have a group who gets to know you, because that's where the brainstorming will really help anybody here, you know, refine something that they're working on. And I'm going to tell you this, that was always a challenge for me. You know, when I was a owner of facilities and I had partners and I had employees, you can't, like, put your shit out there in front of them because it shows weakness. So it's helpful to have a group, and I was always part of a roundtable group. So the more you utilize this group, the more you overcome that difficulty that we all have in seeing things in ourselves. So, yes, it's a very, very, very good point. And I want everybody here to help Tammy kind of find her position, because when she does, man, she's going to nail it hard, because this is she's got an amazing strength and an amazing rapport. And if we just said, hey, Tammy's a great personal trainer, it's not doing her justice. So thank you for sharing that. All right. And then Tasso.
Yes, sir.
So to kind of cut through all of the web, you have a facility called Body Ease, which is how many square feet?
11,300.
Of that 11,300 square feet, there's a portion of it that we discussed that really is not generating revenue, even though people are using it, because they pay so little for that membership that if you had to just have that 6,000 square feet, the revenue would not sustain it, correct?
Correct.
So that is a drain. And I think you guys remember me sharing my most basic, when I started consulting, my most basic premise was make sure your pumps exceed your drains. So you have 6,000 square feet in your facility that is a money drain. So you're paying to support it.
Right.
So if you could make that 6,000 square feet disappear, your profit would be higher. You can't make that 6,000 square feet disappear, but we're going to do something instead. So you could take it from there.
Well, it's actually 5,200 square feet, and my bookkeeper is in the act now of finding out exactly how much money comes out of that area. And what you and I talked about was, even if I were to wall off that area and just rent that area to someone for, let's just say, $5,200 a month, which is a really great rate on my street, because on the street I own my building, average square foot is about $35 a square foot. So it would be a hell of a deal for them to come in at $10 a square foot. If it is a medical-based program, a physician or a lymphatic massage group or something like that, I would now replace that income with no energy from me to satisfy those customers. The second thing that will occur is through cross-marketing or referrals, I'm sure that both that business and I are going to benefit from it. And it begins to take on the early steps of allowing us to create the medical attachment or medical affiliation.
I'm excited for this. I am. I feel like I'm kind of in this with you for some reason, like, because it's just such a opportunity to get rid of that albatross and use it to create the next great opportunity. So I'm really excited for this to happen. And I think, Tasso, your greatest obstacle is the shiny object syndrome, distraction monster. And I think that's where the group can help you, is if this really becomes a focus, is take that 5,200 square feet and get it to produce revenue. And by the way, what you just said is really important, because if there's a business that can't make money at market value, in other words, if they're paying market value rent, they can't make money, they could come in and make money. Are you that far off from market value? It sounds like you are. You're giving them a deal that's so much better than what they'd pay if they went to rent the space on their own.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think whether you end up just renting the whole space or you rent a portion of it to a medical partner, and then ultimately we figure out how to create your own medical space in there, this is going to be a really good year. Right?
Right.
All right, Tony, you still here? Tony?
Yep.
All right, so briefly, you and I had a nice conversation the other day. I know that you're busy with your Staten Island Slim Down, which is a massive event and a massive undertaking, and really something awesome to just witness what you've built there. But looking ahead and looking on the other side of that, I said that there are a couple of things that would be great opportunities for you in the year ahead. Is there anything you want to share based on our conversation with the group?
Well, the biggest thing that attracts me is the medical affiliation. I'm super comfortable in that space and actually achieved a lot of success in that space to date. So to be able to formalize it and systematize it is really exciting.
And the second big opportunity I said for you that's always been just sort of outside your consistent reach is building a spillover. And I know you have one person now, but go ahead.
I have two, but really, really one.
Okay. Because that's where you get freedom. You know, and I said to you the other day, you're so natural now with your videos that you make on YouTube, and, you know, you really come across a professional motivational speaker. You're just very likable, and the interaction that people feel with you is genuine. So you've got a great ability now to become the funnel, but if you're also the workhorse, that's your limitation. So I think at least as much or maybe more than anyone else here, when you get to the place that you can funnel people through a program so they get to meet Tony, work with Tony, and then they go to your spillover, that's when you build your income exponentially with absolutely zero limit. So if we can do that is create a medical affiliation and a funnel that leads to a spillover, I'm going to say, like I said to everybody else, 2019 is going to be your year, baby. This will be it. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay. Anyone else that we haven't highlighted here, we will on a future call. Jim, as I said at the beginning, had some dental work done, so he's unable to talk today, but Jim, on the next call, we'll certainly get to you. Jason Barron, happy birthday. I know you're going to listen to the recording. Anything that anybody else wants to share about anything at all? Thoughts, comments, questions? Okay, then we are heading into what promises to be an amazing year. Remember what I said, believe, be unreasonable, be better, be guided, be centered, be protected, and be whole.
And if anybody needs to go back and hear that one, Phil, it was on 5/4/18 we did that seminar, the seven principles.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you for that. Is that because you're like a regular listener or you just searched it while we were talking about it?
No, I have it noted in my journal.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Hey, by the way, Jeff, are you getting the emails, the group emails?
I got your email today. I did go look at it, so thank
you. Okay, just respond to it. Just you could say anything.
Okay.
Just say hi, just to make sure that you're connected with the group, okay?
All right. Sounds great.
All right, guys. Things to come.
Phil, yes. Hey, Phil, before you sign off, being in this group, how do we get enrolled in the transformation program that starts on Monday?
It doesn't start on Monday. It starts February 3rd or 4th,
February
whatever 3rd. That Monday is.
Okay. How do we get enrolled in it?
You're already enrolled.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was easy. All right. Until we speak again. Happy New Year and be better, everybody. Bye-bye.